This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on a Monday, starting your week off. We're headed to the phones now, continuing discussion of the NFL and its offseason. Our guy Eric Edholm, NFL.com, is good enough to join us here. Eric, first and foremost, man, hope you're doing well. Always great to catch up. One of the reasons that I wanted to have you on, one, I like talking to you, but two, you put out a list last week ranking the top 10 rosters, and Washington not a part of that list. So I'm curious, before we get into your top 10 rosters, when you're looking at the overall top-to-bottom roster for the Commanders, what are you seeing when you're putting these rankings together?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Throwing me right on the grill this morning. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. No, it's funny. Like, before I sort of went into the nuts and bolts of it, I kind of assumed they'd end up somewhere in the back end of the top 10. And, you know, for those who haven't seen it, basically what I did is I tried my best to rate every position apples to apples across the league, you know, who has the best position groups, and took longer than I thought. And, you know, then just try to weigh it. You know, I had a personnel guy a few years back kind of say that they weighed offense, you know, if it was on a scale of 10, offense represented 5 parts, defense 4, special teams 1. That was just one equation I got. So as I sort of punched the numbers in, I realized that Commanders rated pretty low as far as defensive line, secondary, overall defense. I mean, I like their linebackers, and, you know, I think there's some impact players at the other spots. But, you know, just, again, when you stack it up against the league, I mean, Jaden Daniels is great. There's no doubt they have supported him with a better offensive line. They've added weapons, but they came out, I think, 11th or tied for 11th, really close. They and the Rams were the ones who just outside the list. And so I almost tried to redo it. I was like, is this the right way to do it? But that certainly doesn't mean that, A, my methodology is perfect, or that I'm correct on my assessments of who's better than who. But it was interesting. I kind of figured they'd end up somewhere in the 7 to 10 range, and they were just outside that.
So I'm glad you mentioned where they fell in the 11th or 11th and 12th, because I was going to ask, like, this one of those things where you do have like a full list of 32 and only the top 10 were published, but so you did have them right on the outside looking in of the top 10?
Yeah, and part of it was like, you know, I think Bill Parcells said it best, like, don't tell me about the birth, just show me the baby, right? I didn't want to get too lost in all the, you know, my editors asked for 10 teams who have the 10 best rosters. I wanted to explain a little bit how I did it in the intro, and I did just that. But, you know, people rightfully are saying, how are the 49ers in there? You know, like, how are you, after they lost a lot, after coming off a 6-11 season, how did they end up there? And look, it's possible I overrated them. You know, maybe my view of them is, last year was an aberration. They're actually better than you think, and they're getting all these guys back from injury, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I'm putting them too far ahead. Maybe I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, ahead of, you know, a team that Washington beat in Tampa in the playoffs. Let's not forget that. But, you know, I mean, it's just going to be fascinating to see. I was so impressed with what Adam Peters did in year one, and I think they made some really smart targeted additions this year. You know, at the cost of some draft picks this year and next, that's going to be interesting to see what the long-term effects are. You know, it's a multi-tiered thing. You got to think about free agency and contracts and winning during Jaden's rookie contract and all that. But I really can't complain about too much they've done the last, you know, 18, 20 months. It's been fun to see this team build up the way it has. And I think they'll absolutely be in contention if that defense is competitive at all. You know, I mean, that's how good they are, I think, with a quarterback and other, and head coach for that matter. I think the staff is great too.
So you mentioned the defensive line, and if you're going to criticize the defensive line, I will be on the front lines with you. I've spent the last 30 minutes doing so because I think they need to be better. But when you're stacking their defensive line up against other teams in the NFL, what were some of the things that were like really jumping out to you about how Washington's falls short?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously if you think Johnny Newman could step up and fill a role and Javon Kinlaw and Payne and all those guys – I don't know what to make of, you know, like a guy like Eddie Goldman or anything like that. But I would say that the weakest spots are probably outside. I think that's really the lack of sort of true pass rush threats there, especially in a division where there are lots of them. Again, that doesn't necessarily always mean that much. But still, I mean, you see the formula that's worked for Philadelphia, no question about it. The Giants adding Abdul Carter to an already strong defensive line. You know, Dallas has Micah Parsons, maybe the singular best guy at what he does. And so, you know, it's a tough contrast there, even if, again, it only matters whether the Commanders can block those guys and whether their pass rushers can have success against the offensive lines. But still, again, just from a compare and contrast situation, I think the lack of edge rush talent concerns me a little bit. Again, secondary, I would also say is an area that I really like Trey Amos, but, you know, I mean, counting on any rookie cornerback to step right in and be great. Just look at the Lions with Terry and Arnold. He went through some growing pains until playing better later in the year. You know, you can find other examples of rookie corners. Obviously, Emmanuel Forbes would be a good one to start with a couple years ago. You know, it doesn't always work out that way, even if I think he's a really good prospect for the long term.
So when you look across the teams in the top of the league, obviously Philadelphia was one on this list. What is the gap between them and everybody else in the NFL in terms of the roster construction?
Yeah, I think it's not as big as everybody thinks. I mean, they lose Milt Williams, they lose Josh Sweat. What has amazed me is their long-term vision and the ability to draft essentially 2 and 3 years ahead of time, to understand that these guys are going to be not necessarily instant impact performers always. Some of them will, but Philly's done a great job of realizing, hey, okay, in 2025, we're going to have some defensive linemen in free agency. Let's plan ahead and start drafting D linemen in 2022, 2023, et cetera. So that when those situations arise, we don't feel completely compelled to re-sign the guys unless we absolutely want to. So it gives them flexibility and options, and I think that's reflected in their talent. I don't know that there's a position on their team where you go, ooh, that's in pretty rough shape. I think that's the difference, is that their weakest positions are still, I think, in most cases, at least middle of the road. So, you know, do they have luck with injury? You know, that's obviously going to be a question. Do these young defensive linemen step up? That's obviously something that hasn't been completely proven yet. But, again, I would just say the lack of glaring weaknesses is probably what defines their strength as much as anything.
Is Jalen Carter the best defensive tackle in the NFL?
He might be. I mean, yeah, at this stage of his career, you could think about a guy like Chris Jones, who's done it for a long time. You know, Aaron Donald obviously held the mantle for many years. But there is, I think, a shift in this league. And, you know, what may have held him back a little bit was the fact that they were kind of controlling his snaps a little bit to a certain degree. Like, sometimes you'd see him play 32 snaps in a game, but you know, when you're getting a sack and a half and a forced fumble and earning double teams and things like that, you know, your impact is justified. So as he's gotten more opportunities. You know, you've seen the player blossom. There were obviously questions about some maturity stuff coming out in college, but the Eagles said, we trust our locker room. We think he's that good, and they were right. And, you know, we'll see this season. This will be a big test. He will obviously face a ton of attention inside, but if he's not one, he's not much lower than two or three.
Eric Edholm with us here, NFL.com, covers the league in all aspects. When is Aaron Rodgers going to sign with Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's sitting back and sipping on one of his little, vintage tequila blends or whatever, and enjoying the attention. And look, I don't know what his timetable is. I don't know what his motivation is with this. But the interview with Mac a few month ago or whatever kind of suggests, or a month and a half maybe now, he basically alluded to the fact that he had some personal stuff going on. And, you know, I don't ever want to make light of that. Aaron's obviously a quirky guy and a difficult guy to read sometimes. And I think he enjoys being that. I think he likes the mystery and likes people guessing. But I also think there may actually be a tangible reason why he's held back. I don't love the idea of a quarterback just deciding, all right, I'll show up at training camp and all's good. I mean, you think about the commitment that so many quarterbacks have to make year round, building chemistry with receivers, diving into the X's and O's of the offense, figuring out plays and situations with the coordinator, just going over stuff with the other quarterbacks in the room. I mean, there's a chemistry to be built there, and that hasn't really happened outside of a 1 hour workout at UCLA with DK Metcalf. So I don't know. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers' lack of panic with this situation kind of reflects what we're all thinking. He's probably just going to end up there at some point, and that'll be that. But it hasn't happened yet. And at some point, they've got to figure out, hey, is Mason Rudolph ready? Is Will Howard going to step in at some point? Do they have another option? Is Kirk Cousins on the table? I don't know. So I still feel like it's probably going to happen, but man, the more time that goes on, the more surprised I guess I am.
A question that I never thought I would ask another human being, but I'm going to ask you this. In 2025, would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins?
Oh, my goodness. That's a... And I like Kirk. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think he's kind of gotten a bad rap over his career for certain things. I mean, he can throw the football, but I think what really hurt him last year was the Achilles injury. Now, let's point out the fact that, in a short week, he threw for 510 yards. So he still can throw the football, but I think the lack of mobility really did hurt him. Obviously there's some connections. I know Arthur Smith wasn't there when Cousins was there, but knows people on staff who could probably give him an idea of what Cousins is capable of. I think if they preferred him, they would have gone after him. You know, they would have at least made some overtures or hinted that he could be an option. It's been very faint so far. So I'm kind of with the Steelers on this one, I think, as I read it. I would probably rather have Rodgers, but it's a strange question. I think it's fair to ask.
It's one of the only times throughout the history of both guys' careers where I think it's fair to ask, but I would agree with you in that I think would probably lean Aaron Rodgers. Just a few more here for Eric Edholm, who joins us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. So last year, Eric, Jaden Daniels took the league by storm. The year before that, it was C.J. Stroud taking the year by storm as rookie quarterbacks. Do you think any of the rookies this year have the capability of taking the league by storm?
Yeah, not to the level I think that those guys did. Cam Ward has the ability to be a good quarterback in this league. I always question whether he could be a great one watching him. I thought there were flashes of greatness and then flashes of sort of frustrating, sort of ineffectiveness that he would sometimes sort of force his way into. But, you know, there were times where I felt that about Jaden too, watching him in college. There were some limitations I felt like in his game, even if I loved him coming out. I really thought that all three of those top guys were going to be very good players and still feel that way. I still, you know, I'm back in Caleb May and I'm back in, Drake May and Caleb Williams, but I don't feel the same level of conviction that I do with those guys. From what I hear, you know, Shadur's doing everything he can to prove that he's going to get a shot in Cleveland. Dylan Gabriel's been off to a little bit of a slow start, but again, it's OTAs. It's hard to know. I don't know that there's that one that just really stands out. Probably I would say that the one, you know, Cam has the best chance because he's going to start early in the year, if not week one, most likely going to be the opening day starter. And they're going to try to build the offense around him. And Brian Callahan had success with Joe Burrow and Cincy and might be able to have similar results. Although, I just don't know if the ceiling's quite as high as it is for Joe or other quarterbacks.
Do you think both in New York, do you think both Jameis and Russell Wilson are going to be on that Giants roster week one?
Yeah, both of them, that's a fair question. I don't know. I don't know how to handle that. You know, neither one of them is being paid a king's ransom, so I think there's at least a possibility to justify keeping both, especially if you feel like, okay, you know, Russ is the starter until the wheels fall off, or Jackson Dart proves he's ready, and then Jameis is our number two. Like he's our all time backup, right? Like you always said, the all time quarterback in the side yard. Maybe he's ends up in that role, and it's a little bit of a weird structure. And I'd love to be a fly on that QB room wall, but some interesting personalities in that room, but. Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's at least a chance that they decide, okay, Jameis is extra weight. We don't need him. We think Jackson's come a long ways. Or we feel like Russell's still got, you know, a good season left in him. So, yeah, that's a fair question to raise. They had a good draft. They had everything but Dart is the one that, you know, if he hits, that takes a very good class to an exceptional one.
All right, Eric, I'll get you out of here on this. Obviously, nothing set in stone here, so we're not going to hold your feet to the fire too much with this one. But as we approach training camp, is there one team that you're looking at as kind of being this dark horse, whether it be in the NFC or AFC?
Yeah, that's a fair question. That's a good one, too. I would say don't forget about the Arizona Cardinals. They're kind of a team that sometimes they were 6-4 and had kind of in the driver's seat for that division. Sort of felt like they're on the come. I can see them being a team that surprised some people. I think, again, the Buccaneers are a team that maybe isn't being considered a Super Bowl contender that maybe should start get some of that praise. There's nobody right off the top of my head that's just like screaming comeback season or something like. Again, I think the 49ers are going to bounce back from 6-11. Maybe I'm wrong, but if you look at their schedule, it's very manageable. And if you look at the players they're getting back from injury, yes, it doesn't make up for all their losses, but I do think they're going to be a team that bounces back this season. Also, keep an eye on the Jaguars. I still am not convinced that the Travis Hunter move is the right move long term, but doesn't mean it's not going to add talent right away, and they have a pretty manageable schedule themselves.
Yeah, they got some sneaky talent on that offense as well. Yeah. Eric, appreciate the time as always, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
All right, have a good morning. See you.
That is Eric at home. I guess, yeah, he's in Chicago, so it's still the morning. Look at me being dumb.
It's 11:18. It's still morning here.
It's morning here, too, so it's morning literally everywhere in the country, and I'm saying afternoon. You know what? That is how it is.
Well, you're up at 4 in the morning every day. This is afternoon for you.
This basically is my afternoon. Max Chadwick is going to join us in about 20 minutes. He's been a part of some of the Pro Football Focus listings that have left guys like Daron Payne off and on the cutting room floor at certain positions. So I'm really excited to get into that conversation. I do just want to mention something that Eric had alluded to. He mentioned the Cardinals in the NFC West. I think there's been so much attention paid to the San Francisco 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams rightfully so because of how good they were at the end of last year. And then assuming that Matthew Stafford is going to continue to be a top-tier, top-level quarterback. I don't know that I am as bullish on the Rams, admittedly, Max, as everybody else is, because I don't know that I trust Matt Stafford at, I think he's like 37 now.
Yeah, he's getting up there.
He's getting up there in age, and it's not normal for guys to be as effective at quarterbacks. So he just turned 37. I don't know that I'm going to trust a guy that just turned 37 to perform the way that he did last year. Now, they did help him with adding Devontae Adams, so I still think there's some gas left in that tank. And Puka Nacua has been a really good wide receiver. But I'm a little less in on the Rams as everybody else. With that said, I'm not saying I'm in on the Cardinals. I'm not saying that at all. I have about 8 years of Kyler Murray showing me that
thank you.
He's really good for about 8 weeks.
Thank you.
And then not very good for the second half
Video games come out weeks. Mid-season. It happens.
Well, it's not even video games. It's the fact that he's like 5'6".
Listen,
eventually
there are many
you're going to have to see over your line of scrimmage. And if you can't do that, things are going to be very difficult to play quarterback.
So
that has always been the Achilles heel. It was never Cliff. Cliff was blamed for it. It was never Cliff. It was the fact that you just cannot make Kyler Murray grow without using a lot of roids and HGHs and things that are very illegal as far as the NFL is concerned. All right, Max Chadwick coming up in 15 minutes, rather. Coming up next, a little bit of Denton's Daily News, including a quarterback getting married in the NFL. Don't go anywhere. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on a Monday. Max Chadwick, Pro Football Focus, is going to join us in about 15 minutes here on the program. Get his thoughts on some of the guys that need to be better for Washington in 2025. Max also covers college football, so we'll talk a little bit of college football with Max. Ben Standy coming up at noon here on the show, as he does each and every Monday. Before we get to Max, let's get to some daily news. So first, we're going to start with the congratulations, Max. We are going to congratulate Josh Allen, quarterback,
yes,
Buffalo Bills, marrying Haley Steinfeld this weekend. I am a big fan of Haley Steinfeld. I have yet to see Sinners, but I love the Pitch Perfect franchise, and Pitch Perfect 2 is a great sequel. That's actually the first movie I think that I ever saw Haley Steinfeld in. I'm trying to
really.
I believe so. I'm not a massive movie guy, so I think that was the first movie that I ever saw her in.
Ender's Game. Did you ever see that?
I have never heard of that.
Okay. It was a book. It turned into a movie. It was about this kid. He's super gifted and all that. So he gets put in this war school and they run him through all these simulations. And then boom, you find out the simulations were actually war battles. So, and then they win the war and they take out the planet and all that. But Hailee Steinfeld is in it. And she's like, I think they're both like 14. So I think that was, and that came out when I was in middle school. So I think that was my first intro to her.
Interesting. Okay. So she gets married to Josh Allen. And the reason I know about this is because I have seen pictures of this. Now, it wasn't professionally done pictures. It was instead paparazzi pictures. That's the worst.
They are the scum of the earth.
Absolute worst. Because how do they get there? And what I believe is the case is that they flew drones. As someone that just got married, if I were to have seen a drone over my wedding, it would have been a problem for somebody. I don't know who, but it would have been a problem for somebody. I cannot imagine having this incredibly special moment with you, your multimillion dollar quarterback and Josh Allen, and then like hearing just the bzzz because a drone is flying over the place. And generally there's this rule of thumb. I don't know how often people follow this, but amongst the younger generations, it was very important for my wife. You should not be posting a picture of the bride until the bride posts a picture of herself.
Correct.
That is the way that pictures are done, because you want the bride to be the first one to post a picture of herself in the wedding dress. Not everybody followed that rule at my wedding, but it was, we got over it, right? It was something we talked about. It was like, don't everyone go posting pictures. So the fact that Hailee Steinfeld didn't get that opportunity because some, I don't know, National Enquirer, Daily Mail, whatever the Page Six, whatever the paparazzi sites are.
As Doc Walker would put it, a jackass.
A jackass decided to fly a drone over the wedding. Congratulations to those two. I'm sure the wedding looks beautiful. That was also one thing. When you fly a drone, you don't get like the great look of what the venue actually was. So it looks like they got married in a backyard. I know it wasn't. They got a lot of money. And I'm sure, like, planning a wedding, Josh Allen and Hailee Steinfeld, I guarantee, was a lot easier for them than it was for me and my wife. Because they had an ability that me and my wife did not have, which is a $55 million contract per year. Go pay somebody to figure this stuff out.
How much are flowers? $30,000, sir. Like, sure, man.
That's it?
I don't care.
Which, by the way, that price, not terribly off. It is off a little bit, but not terribly off. I mean, some of the things that they upcharge you for on weddings are just absolutely insane. So Josh Allen could just say, I just got a new contract. Somebody go figure it out. All right, next on the Daily News here. I did mention this early. John Brankus passed away this morning.
Sucks.
John Brankus was the host and, I believe, founder and owner of Sports Science. I loved watching Sports Science on ESPN when I was younger. I think it was in its prime, or like on ESPN from 07 to 2017. It was on Fox, I believe, before then. Or maybe it was on Fox for part of 07 to 17, but I know for a majority of its run, it was on ESPN. And Sports Science was like the craziest program in the world, Max, as I'm sure you know, because it was like the most random things that you would get legitimate science on. And my favorite was after the 2011 NBA Finals, when the Dallas Mavericks beat Miami and Dirk went crazy. There was a whole episode dedicated, or a whole segment rather, dedicated to Dirk Nowitzki's shot, that fadeaway that he did that basically won the Mavericks a championship. And because of his height and because of the way that he did the fadeaway with lifting of the knee and creating space and separation between him and the defender and lifting the knee in a way that was a basketball move, rather than, it seems like most times in the NBA, if you see somebody hit a fadeaway, it's more in line with a step back jumper than like an actual fadeaway. But because he would lift his knee with an actual fadeaway, you got all these like scientific metrics that said that shot is virtually unblockable. Like, John Brankus has got on there and said, you would have had to be the height of Yao Ming and the leaping ability of Derrick Rose to block that shot. And I remember me in like, I guess that was 2011, so I was in high school, just being like completely in awe of how that worked. And you know what I did? I went out there and I practiced that shot in my driveway. And you know what happened, Max? My dad blocked it immediately. So I clearly wasn't doing something correctly. But like, just those sorts of things. And like this Brandon Jacobs episode where John Brankus who was not like an athlete, I don't think, not a big time athlete, at least beforehand, basically just sat there and got trucked by Brandon Jacobs. And it looked like you're literally just signing up to be in a car crash.
Well, it's not even the first time that he did that, because he got slammed by Luke Kuechly too.
The guy was nuts, but he did it for us. He was nuts and putting his body through all sorts. Like, I don't want to get tackled by Luke Kuechly. I don't want to tackle Brandon Jacobs. I don't want to tackle anybody, let alone Brandon Jacobs. But by far the most memorable one is not the Dirk one, even though that was my favorite. It was not Kevin Love body slamming a sumo wrestler when Kevin Love had a buzz cut to work on rebounding. It was instead this episode. I don't know what the guy's name was. Honestly, I don't think it's particularly relevant. But it was this one episode where they brought this guy in, and his specialty was getting kicked in the nuts. So they bring this guy in that has made a lifetime of getting kicked in the nuts. And at like 12, I was like, this is not real. Like, this is insane television. And they brought in a professional kickboxer, and they wanted to see the amount of force that they could kick this dude in the nuts with, and he would just take it. And they bring in like this world champion kickboxer, and let me tell you, he leveled my man. Like, just absolute leg fully to the crotch. And they measured it with, you know, whatever sort of scientific stuff they utilize, cameras, angles, all these things. And they measured it at, like, I don't know if it was like PSIs or just like pounds of force per square inch, whatever it was. But it was effectively about 1,300 pounds of force to the nuts. And the guy just took it. It was the most, I was like, who checked off on this? Even in high school, I was like, who checked off on getting this guy kicked in the nuts like this? But like, that's the kind of show that it was. So I feel terrible for the Brankus family. It was allegedly a battle with depression, which it's tough out. Like, text your homies, man. We see these videos of Mike Sanders still calling his homies, tell him good night. Text your homies good night. Especially if you're a man out there, text your fellas. Let them know that you're thinking about them and that you love them. And then finally here, before we get to Max Chadwick, does the Madden curse still exist?
I hope so.
Because Saquon Barkley just made the cover of Madden. It felt like there was a while where the Madden curse stopped existing. But then last year, Christian McCaffrey was on the cover of Madden, and Christian McCaffrey did not play very well. There were some people on Twitter that were fans of our organization that said they wanted Jaden Daniels on the cover of Madden.
No,
not me. Mm-mm.
Nuh-uh.
Not old D-Day over here. I did not want to see Jaden Daniels on that Madden cover. Even if the Madden curse doesn't exist anymore, I'd lived through enough of the Madden curse to know that I don't want any burgundy and gold on the cover of Madden. Point blank, period. Jaden was awesome. The Hail Mary was the play of the season this year. He was the player of the season as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, Lamar was great. Josh Allen was great. But for me, the season was all about Jaden Daniels, and I don't want him anywhere near that shoot for the Madden cover. I don't need to see him on Madden. I mean, I'll see him on Madden, but I don't want to see him on the cover of Madden. It was Saquon Barkley doing the hurdle over what's-his-face. Sick. Have fun with that. No Jaden Daniels, please. No Madden cover for us here.
Rather see Peyton Hillis on the cover.
I don't know where Peyton Hillis is in life. I'll see Peyton Hillis. You want to get a DC defender? Put a DC defender out there. I don't want to see no Jaden Daniels, no Terry, Brian Wright, like
Tabu
nobody
on the cover.
I don't want to see nobody in the burgundy and gold on the Madden cover. But congratulations to Saquon. Have fun with all that, Philadelphia fans. You've earned it. All right, when we get back, Max Chadwick, Pro Football Focus. He joins us on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in on the Team 980.
All right, well, as you just heard, EA Sports makes it official. Saquon Barkley will be the cover athlete of Madden 26. The Offensive Player of the Year threatened to break Eric Dickerson's all-time rushing record, notching over 2,000 yards in 16 games last season. The Nats, they fall yesterday to the Arizona Diamondbacks by a score of 3-1. The Nats are 10-4 in their last 14 games and will begin their series versus the Chicago Cubs tomorrow at 6:45. The NBA Finals are set. The Indiana Pacers finish off the New York Knicks over the weekend, 125-108. They will face the Oklahoma City Thunder starting on Thursday. And sports fans around the world are grieving today after it was announced in a Facebook post that sports science host John Brinkus passed away following a bout with depression. The mastermind of sports minutia was very open regarding his mental health struggles, and his family has urged those who struggle with similar afflictions to seek help. He was 54. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. We'll head out to the phones here. Welcome on Max Chadwick to the program, Pro Football Focus. You can find him on Twitter at CFB Max Chadwick. Max, first and foremost, man, appreciate you jumping on, making some time for us here on a Monday morning. There's a couple things I wanted to get into, but I wanted to just start with the Commanders and their overall roster grade. I know PFF put together a roster grade they ranked the rosters rather of every team in the NFL last week. Washington came in at number 11. When you just look at a broad view of Washington's roster, what sticks out to you?
Yeah, obviously, I think last year they overperformed a lot, right? I think a lot of it had to do with Jaden Daniels coming in and having, you know, one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen from a quarterback, but by all stretches, it was still one of the worst defenses in the NFL, and the supporting cast still wasn't the best for Jaden Daniels either. So it just even shows even more how much of a superstar he can be in the NFL with how good he was in leading Washington all the way to the NFC title game this past year. I think they improved the supporting cast a lot this offseason, obviously trading for an all-pro left tackle in Laramie Tunsil, getting Deebo Samuel into that receiver room as well, drafting Josh Connerly Jr., in the first round as well, too. So they definitely improved the supporting cast a lot. The defense is still going to be a little bit of a question mark, but I like some of the moves they did on that side of the ball as well. But, yeah, I think Washington, roster-wise, even though they made it all the way to the NFC title game, is still probably not one of the elites in the NFL. But when you have an elite quarterback like Jaden Daniels, that can make up for a lot of the deficiencies in your roster.
Defensive line is a position group that we have had many passionate conversations about on this particular station. I don't think that they are very good on the defensive line. What do you see when you look at them?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I actually, you know, as good as Josh Connerly Jr. was, you know, I'd rather prefer them maybe go after one of the top edge rushers in this past NFL draft with that first-round pick. And they didn't do it. And I think Josh Connerly Jr. is a really good player who should, you know, maybe not start immediately for Washington, but he'll be a long-term starter eventually down the road for them. But, yeah, that defensive line, like you said, D-tackle's not great. Edge rusher was rough last year as well. And it doesn't look great for next year. And I was a big fan of Jerzon Newton coming out of Illinois a couple years ago out of college, and I thought he was a steal in the on day two of the draft, when I thought he should have been a first-round pick. So I think, you know, in year two, maybe you could see a big jump from him, but he wasn't great in his rookie year. And then, you know, Javon Kinlaw has struggled his entire career. Don't love the contract he got. Deron Payne is just an okay player, I thought, as well. And then obviously the edge room with Dorrance Armstrong and Dietrich Wise is probably one of the worst in the NFL. So I still think that defensive line for Washington should be one of the worst in the NFL next year, and you're hoping for a year two breakout for Jerzon Newton.
What does Johnny Newton have to do to overtake Deron Payne as the defensive tackle one in that room?
Yeah, I think it's a little stronger against the run. I think, you know, I was watching his tape from this past season, he just kind of got washed out of plays too much. And it makes sense, you know, going from the college to the NFL, where the linemen are bigger and stronger and more technically sound, it can be harder to defend the run than it obviously was in college. But get a little stronger, more stout against the run is what I would say for Jerzon Newton. I think as a pass rusher, you definitely saw some flashes from him last year, but I definitely want to see him get, you know, a little more bullish at the point of attack where he could get into the backfield.
Max Chadwick with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show from Pro Football Focus. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. Where is Deebo Samuel going to be used in this offense, do you think?
Everywhere. I think that's the best thing for him. So you just use him all over the offense, and Cliff Kingsbury can get very creative with him in his offense. So I'm excited to see what his usage is. But he's a guy that is just a weapon. You know, calling a wide receiver, he is a wide receiver, but he's just really a weapon in that offense. You give him carries out of the backfield, screens, design touches, even some downfield throws too. So I'm just excited to see what he could do in this offense. It's kind of a different element of a receiver than what they already have in Terry McLaurin.
So when you look across the NFL, Philadelphia is largely considered the best team in the NFL. In the NFC in particular, who would you say is second to Philly?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd probably still say Detroit right now. I think that's probably the team I would still put up there as maybe the next best team in the conference. Now, I think there is a question mark with the Lions, considering they lost both their coordinators to head coaching jobs. So they have to replace both coordinators, who both were star coordinators, obviously, in Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. So that's definitely a question mark there. But roster-wise, it's still one of the best offenses, best rosters, I should say, in the NFL. You bring back Aiden Hutchinson from injury, who hopefully can bounce back to what he was, because what he was last year, I mean, he was looking like the defensive player of the year before he went down with that injury. And then offensively, you got, you know, really good offensive line, a good receiving core. Jared Goff is an at least above-average quarterback, great run game as well. And then, you know, there's a lot of young pieces in that defense I'm a big fan of, too. So there is a question mark with the new coaching staff, but I do think Detroit right now is probably the next best team after Philadelphia.
How much longer, and this is a final NFL question before we get to some college football stuff, because there's a lot we got to talk about there. But how much longer do you think Kansas City sits atop of the mountain in the AFC, or do you think they have finally reached the point where they're a little too old at certain positions?
Honestly, as long as they have number 15 back there under center, I'm never going to say the Chiefs are ever out of it in the AFC. I mean, listen, Patrick Mahomes has started 7 years in the NFL, and all 7 years he's been to at least the AFC title game, right? So who am I to say it's going to end in 2025? Now, I agree with you. Their roster is getting a little bit older. Travis Kelce did look like he lost a step last year. But, you know, I think they're hoping to find some new weapons. I mean, obviously, Rashee Rice coming back from his injury from last year and still is looming off-field issues too. But Xavier Worthy, they drafted in the first round, hoping he can be a deep threat. He did show flashes of that last year. They made some moves on the offensive line too. We'll see what happens with that, with Josh Simmons coming in, the first-round pick. And they have some good players in defense. Obviously, the best part of the Chiefs last year, I thought, was the defense. It actually wasn't Patrick Mahomes. The defense is actually one of the best in the NFL, and it should remain that going into next year too. So as long as Andy Reid's coaching, as long as Patrick Mahomes is throwing the football, yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs are absolutely going to be in the thick of it in the AFC.
Max Chadwick, my guest here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in. You can find him on Twitter at CFB Max Chadwick. Let's transition to college football, Max. It's been a little busy over the last week or so. We had the SEC meetings, of course, last week, and we got word that a seeding change is likely to come in the college football playoff. Do you think that in the position that we are at right now, people are starting to make changes to the format a little too quickly in the playoff?
Yeah, it's, you know, it is alarming how quickly, you know, we went from, you know, back in, I think it was 1998, we went from just voting for a national championship to say, okay, let's do a national championship game with two teams. And that lasted for, what, 16 years, really? And then we got to a four-team playoff, and that lasted for a decade. Now we're in a 10 to a 12-team playoff, and now it's only going to last for really 2 years, right? So it's kind of crazy how you go from a two-team system that lasted for nearly 20 years to a four-team system that lasted for 10 years. Now a 12-team system is lasting for maybe 2 years, right? So it is, seems like we're accelerating this a little bit too quickly, but I don't think a 16-team system is actually the worst thing in the world. I do want to stop after that, though. I don't think we should be going to a 24-team or even larger than that, because I think that would devalue the regular season a little bit, which is honestly the best part of college football. I think it's the best regular season in sports, honestly, the college football regular season. So I think the 16-team system is interesting. I'm not against it at all. The format of it is going to be a little interesting, too, because they might have more automatic bids, for like four for the SEC, four for the Big Ten, two for the Big 12, two for the ACC, and then the rest are, you know, at least one group of five team then at large. I don't hate that model. I know they're debating a lot of different models of it as well, but I don't hate the 16-team system, but you're right. It is pretty insane that we're only going to have really maybe 2 years of the 12-team playoff before you move up to 16 teams.
Is it starting to feel like by 2030 it's just going to be Super League, Big Ten versus SEC?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but you know it does feel like if you're not in the Big Ten or the SEC right now, you might be getting left behind a little bit. I still think, obviously, we still have a lot of great programs in the ACC and in the Big 12 that are going to, you know, remain right now. So I don't think we're going to ever, you know, I don't think we're going to get to that point soon where it's just going to be two conferences competing for it. And I would hate for that to happen too. We're just, you know, getting rid of so much other great things about college football. Like, there's more to college football than just the Big Ten and the SEC, honestly, right? So,
right.
But it does feel like a little bit like the Big Ten and SEC are kind of separating themselves a little bit from the pack. It's like, hey, you know, we are very clearly the two best conferences in the sport. We deserve, you know, priority over everyone else right now.
So I know we're a ways away from the start of the season, but I just love talking about college football. A lot of people are pointing to Drew Aller as the top quarterback entering the season. Are you in camp Drew Aller, or do you think the best quarterback is somebody else?
No, I think Aller's a top five quarterback in the country. I think he still has some issues with his footwork and his accuracy that make me, you know, hesitant to call him the best quarterback in America, but I definitely would say he's a top five quarterback in the country. I would say the best one right now is honestly Kate Klubnik from Clemson, which I was kind of surprised. If you told me I would say that last year, I would say you're crazy. But he had an unreal year this past year. I thought he was a top-five quarterback in the country. He was excellent in the college football playoff game against Texas, who has one of the best defenses in America as well. I was blown away by Kate Klubnik this past year. So I would say he's the best right now. And then there's some other guys that I'll throw in that mix too, like Sam Levitt from Arizona State, Drew Aller, Garrett Nussmeier, guys like that. DJ Ligo should have a big year. Arch Manning could have a really massive year at Texas. I still think Carson Beck's a really good quarterback. I think kind of Georgia's receiving core let him down a lot last year. But yeah, Drew Aller's definitely in that mix right now. There's no clear-cut answer for number one, but I would give the slight nod to Kate Klubnik right now.
Do you think South Carolina can replicate some of the success they had? It feels like they have years where they're good. We think, all right, this next year they're going to be really good, and then they fall off a little bit. Is this finally the year that Beamer puts two really, really good years together?
They could. I would say they're a very volatile team, because I think Lenore Sellers, even though he's one of the most physically talented quarterbacks in America, he's very inconsistent right now, so I kind of hesitate to call him one of the best in the country like some others are doing right now, too. Dylan Stewart's a freak athlete, an edge rusher, right, so they have him. But I just there's a lot on the roster they lost from last year, and that defense is really the reason why they were such a good team last year. They lost a lot from that defense from last year, too. So I'm a little hesitant to call them a true playoff contender right now. I think they're more of like a top 20 team in college football, and I probably won't predict them to make the playoff next year.
So you mentioned Kate Klubnik. Do you think Clemson gets back atop of the ACC as a legitimate powerhouse?
Yeah, I am all in on Clemson next year. I actually think right now they're the best team in the country. I think, you know, Kate Klubnik, you have him as who I consider to be the top quarterback in America. You have one of the best receiving cores in college football. You have a top 10 offensive line, at least in my opinion, in college football. The best D-line in the country, in my opinion. You have one of the best linebacker units in the country and one of the best secondaries in the country. I think Clemson right now is my pick to win the national title next year for all those reasons. Yeah, I'm pretty all in on the Tigers next year.
And everybody started making fun of Dabo Swinney for not using the portal. Then he finally does, and they're going to get good again, aren't they?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah, Dabo Swinney, he did add a couple players in the portal. He's still very much building his roster off of high school recruiting. But listen, when you recruit the level that Clemson does, bringing in top five, top 10 class every single year, you're still going to be one of the top teams in college football. And they do a really good job of keeping their talent as well in that program. Like a lot of the top players, you don't really see them leaving Clemson, right? So that's another great thing that Dabo Swinney does. Do I wish he used the portal a little bit more? Probably, but he still should have one of the best rosters in the country next year with what he's done recruiting-wise.
Max, appreciate the time, man. This has been a lot of fun. I can't wait for the start of college football season. It can't get here soon enough. Appreciate you, man.
Of course, neither can I. Appreciate you guys.
That is Max Chadwick, Pro Football Focus. You can find him on Twitter at @CFBMaxChadwick. I always love talking college football. You guys know that. I'm a college football sicko. So anytime we can have those conversations, I'm all for it. You can get Clemson right now at most sporting books at 13-1 to win the national championship. I don't hate that at all, especially seeing as they are built from the defensive side out. That defensive line, if you look back at some of the great Clemson teams, when Dabo was at the peak of his power, if you will. I mean, Deshaun Watson led one of the teams to a national championship, obviously, but that Trevor Lawrence national championship, Trevor Lawrence was a good quarterback that year, but if you look at that defensive line, good God, they were stacked with talent, NFL talent. In fact, Cleveland Farrell was on that team. Christian Wilkins, who now plays in Las Vegas, was on that team. They were just packed to the gills, built through the defensive line. So if that's the version of Clemson that we're going to get in 2025, and you can get them now at 13-1, I'm telling you what, I'm sprinkling a little bit of something on Clemson to win the national championship. We'll have more college football, obviously, as we get closer and closer to the season. Y'all know that Kevin's a sicko about it as well. When we get back, we're talking Commanders. Ben Standing is going to join us, talk a little bit about OTAs and what is next to come in the offseason for Washington. Don't go anywhere. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.